This is the Old Radio Show's podcast.
Mystery is my hobby. Tonight's story began one evening last summer. Alan Fisher, a wealthy mining engineer, recently married to his young and beautiful wife, was being called upon by a young attorney named Frank Woodman.
Good evening, Frank. Come in.
Yeah, I got your message, Fisher. It sounded urgent.
It is. I have a special case I want you to handle for me. Shall we go into the study?
Okay. As I told you over the phone, I have an important engagement.
I think what I have to say will preclude the possibility of your engagement. Sit over there, please.
What's the idea of locking the door?
Don't get alarmed. I merely want to ensure privacy.
That's what I fell in.
She won't, Frank. My wife isn't home tonight. She doesn't even know that you're here.
Oh. Well, what was it you wanted to see about?
Sit down, sit down. It may take some time.
To my appointment.
Your appointment can wait. Cigar, Frank?
All right. You know I don't smoke cigars.
Of course, I'd forgotten. You live in a cigarette-smoking generation, don't you, Frank? You and Helene.
See here, Fisher, if you don't...
If you'll indulge an old man a lifelong habit, I'll light up. There's nothing like an after-dinner cigar, my boy. You should try it sometime.
I'll stick to cigarettes. Look, what's this all about?
Of course, you're curious, aren't you, my boy? Well, this case I want you to handle involves a very dear friend of mine.
Do I know him?
You know him, my boy, very well indeed.
What's his name? Perhaps it's someone I wouldn't even be interested in representing.
On the contrary, I think you will, Frank. However, for the moment, I shall withhold his identity until you decide.
That's nonsense. You don't care to...
He's quite an elderly man, Frank. About 60, I should judge. Recently, he had the good fortune to meet and marry a very lovely young woman.
Oh, I see. One of those June and January affairs, huh?
A very apt description, my boy. However, my friend, despite his age, was sincerely and honestly in love with his young wife. He believed he could make her happy.
They always do.
Do they, Frank? That's one of the things I'm curious about. As a lawyer, I felt that you could advise me.
Well, it depends upon the girl, I suppose.
Ah, that is exactly what I wanted to hear. It depends upon the girl.
I don't get it.
Perhaps I'd better explain further, then. For a time, my friend and his young wife were quite happy. Then one evening at a party, my friend's wife was presented to a personable young man of about her own age.
Well, that usually happens, too.
Yes. Thereafter, my friend lived in torment of doubt and suspicion.
Your friend's story is following the usual pattern.
I suppose it is. To you, a lawyer, his predicament must be an old story.
Yes, and a tiring one.
I'm sorry. However, there is a point in my friend's story where it deviates from the customary pattern.
Oh?
Yes. My friend, though aware of his wife's infidelity and knowing that she was perhaps more to blame for the situation than the young man, did not accuse her of her disloyalty, nor throw her out into the cold, cruel world.
No? What did he do?
Unfortunately, my friend realized that without his beautiful young wife, despite her faults, life would scarcely be worth living.
Still don't get it.
You will in a moment, Frank, I'm sure. Realizing the depths to which his love went, my friend began to think of some means of removing the young man from the scene.
Yes, that is killing him. Fisher, you can tell your friend for me that he's a fool. He wouldn't get away with it.
My friend realizes that, Frank. He knows that murder would not solve the problem. So he thought of another means of accomplishing his purpose.
Another?
My friend is quite wealthy, Frank. He happens to know that the young man in whom his wife is interested is, shall we say, not too well off.
I see.
Coincidentally, the young man is a lawyer, Frank, like yourself. You can understand how difficult it is for struggling young lawyers these days.
Yeah, I know all that.
Now, as a lawyer, Frank, I want you to advise me what to do. Would you suggest that I tell my friend to offer the young man a sum of money to leave the country? Being very subtle about it, of course.
Well, no harm in trying.
What sum would you suggest, Frank?
I'd say the sum should be in direct ratio to the young man's fondness for your friend's wife.
In other words, every man has his price.
That's it.
What would you say to $25,000?
I'd say it wasn't enough.
$50,000.
Well, the young man would be crazy if he took it. Where could he'd go on $50,000 and set himself up in business and live the life to which he'd be entitled.
Entitled?
He'd have to sacrifice the young wife, wouldn't he? Well, there should be some compensation for that.
I see. $75,000.
He's still way low.
Low? Be reasonable, Frank. My friend loves his wife madly. He's all he has left in life.
Then your friend should be willing to pay whatever amount the young man has.
What would that figure be?
$250,000.
$250,000? But that's out of the question. My friend hasn't any such amount.
I think your friend is lying.
He isn't, Frank. I swear it.
Then your friend's a fool to even think about it.
Heavens. Frank.
What the devil's the matter? What are you telling you?
Don't know. There's someone outside the French door. He has a gun.
You're crazy.
Oh, no, I'm not. Stay where you are. I've got a gun in this car.
Put that gun down, you fool. Don't think you can trip me. I'm turning around. Put it down. You see, under the circumstances, Mrs. Fisher, but... Excuse me, please. I think that calls for me.
Of course.
Yes?
Hello, Bart.
Hello, Inspector. What are those fingerprints, Cheryl?
There were two sets on the gun. Frank Woodman, Graham
Fisher. I see. Anything else?
Anything else? What more do you want? Help in Judas, Bart. We already know that Woodman was making a play for Fisher's wife.
Inspector, Mrs. Fisher is with me now.
Uh-oh.
Get down here as soon as you can, Inspector. There are some new developments that I want to discuss with you.
New developments? Mm-hmm. You don't mean this,
Inspector. As soon as you can, Inspector. Goodbye. I'm afraid that the case against Frank Woodman looks rather bad, Mrs. Fisher.
Yes, I overheard what Inspector Daphne said about the fingerprints. Mr. Drake, I'm sure you're making a mistake. Frank Woodman...
Unfortunately, Mrs. Fisher, there are neither witnesses nor evidence to substantiate Mr. Woodman's rather fantastic stories. And as a lawyer, he should know it.
But if there were someone outside the French door...
Inspector Danton's men have covered every inch of ground outside the French doors, Mrs. Fisher. There's no evidence that anyone was there.
And you lend no credence to Frank's story that he picked up the gun and ran through the French doors after the slayer?
I might, except for one thing. Mr. Woodman stated that an instant before your husband died, he gasped, "I got him."
What's so fantastic about that?
Mrs. Fisher, the police, medical examiner stated that your husband was killed instantly. If that is true, he couldn't have said, "I got him," after he was shot, could he?
I see.
And Lucia Butler heard your husband and Mr. Woodman quarreling. Woodman substantiated this.
Well, I should think that the mere fact that Frank did substantiate the quarrel
would indicate that he had a clear conscience. No, Mrs. Fisher. Woodman was merely being clever. He knew that the case against him was bad. Therefore, it was to his advantage to make the admission. And the fact that
the fact that I admit being in love with Frank gives him a motive. Is that correct, Mr. Drake?
Not quite. The fact that Mr. Woodman knew that you would inherit your husband's fortune when he died, and that you were in love with him, provided the motive.
That's unkind. It's brutal and cruel.
Murder is also brutal and cruel, Mrs. Fisher.
Are you going to arrest Frank?
I'm afraid Inspector Danton will have no choice.
I beg your pardon.
Come in, Lewis. What have you there?
The mail, sir. It just came. Shall I leave it here, Mrs. Fisher?
If you don't mind, Lewis, I'll fix the letter.
Oh, but
let him have it, Lewis. I seem to be deprived of my rights as a citizen.
Why don't you go upstairs and lie down, madam? You've been wearing those heavy riding boots and that jacket all morning. You must be
tired. Thank you, Lewis. I couldn't sleep. I'll remain here until it's over.
Mrs. Fisher, did you ever know a man named Horace Gay?
Horace Gay?
Mm-hmm.
What about him?
This envelope addressed to you contains a newspaper clipping. It states that Horace Gay escaped from prison last week.
Oh, no. What do you see? Was there anything else in the envelope?
No, that's all. Just a flipping. Then you do know Mr. Gayden?
A long time ago. He was in love with me. We were to be married.
What happened?
Horace worked in a bank. Funds were found missing. Horace was accused. He killed a man.
Okay. Did your husband know about this?
No. Telling Alan would have done no good. I'd completely forgotten. Mr. Drake.
Yes?
Before they took Horace away, he swore that if I ever married anyone else, he'd... He'd kill him.
And you think that possibly...
Yes, oh, don't you see? It was Horace outside those French doors. It must have been. Oh, thank heavens, you can't arrest Frank now. You can't.
There, Mrs. Fisher. You mustn't get excited. Let me help you up.
No, get away from me, Lewis. Well, Mr. Drake?
You're really in love with Mr. Woodman, aren't you, Mrs. Fisher?
Yes, I am. I'm desperately in love with him. Is it wicked to love a man and try to protect him?
Not at all, Mrs. Fisher. Only I don't think you're trying to protect Frank Woodman.
Okay, Bart, we spent the whole day looking for clues that don't exist. Now we're right back at the scene of the crime where we started from. When are you going to let me arrest somebody?
Inspector, you can start arresting any time you like. Whom do you want to arrest?
The guy who murdered Alan Fisher, naturally.
And who's that, Inspector?
It's Frank Woodman. You said so yourself. He had a motive, his fingerprints around the gun. Oh, doggone it, Bart. I wish you wouldn't change your mind so often.
I haven't changed my mind, Inspector. How do you account for that shot that came through the French doors?
How do I account for it?
Mm-hmm.
You said yourself that Woodman probably fired the shot just to throw us off.
Did I? Well, the broken glass was inside the study, Inspector. That indicates that the shot came from the outside. Besides, there was only one shot fired from Fisher's gun. No, Inspector. I'm afraid there was someone outside those French doors.
Well, I'll be doggone. Bart, you're giving me a headache. Whose side of your arm, anyway? Look, for crying out loud.
You really sound unhappy, Inspector.
Huh.
Let's see, what time is it? 9 o'clock. That's odd.
Yeah, isn't it, though? Every time it gets to be 9 o'clock, it's odd. What's odd about it?
It doesn't happen soon. I've been... Oh, hello, Woodman. Come in. I've been expecting you.
I can give that back here, Drake. I've been expecting you. Oh, Denton.
Oh, to take you off to jail, you mean?
Yeah. Look, you guys, I'm tired of sitting around this house waiting for you masterminds to build a case against me. Either make a formal arrest...
Oh, so you're tired of waiting for us to build a case against you, Bub. Well, let me tell you something. We got a case that'll send you to the chair quicker than...
Nuts.
This.
If you have a case against me, why all this stalling?
You seem pretty sure of yourself, Woodman.
Sure I am. I'm a lawyer, Drake. You haven't got anything on me. I know it and you know it. So what's the game?
We got enough on you to keep you sitting in this house, Bub, even if you're tired.
As a matter of fact, Woodman, we are playing a game. The first half is over, and in a moment we can...
Something, Judas, listen to that!
Let it come in, Command. I think the second half of the game has begun.
How do you know?
Never mind that. Let's get up there.
Hey, there's the butler at the top of the stairs.
I see him.
This way, gentlemen.
What are you running, a conducted tour?
This is Mrs. Fisher's room.
Come in.
Oh, Frank. It was awful.
Inspector, take a look out of that window.
Okay.
Well, Mrs. Fisher.
You're safe now, darling. Tell us what happened.
I went to bed about an hour ago. I must have dropped off to sleep. I didn't realize how exhausted I was.
Oh, you poor kid.
I think she can talk without you holding her in her arms, Woodman. Please stand over there.
Listen, you can't.
Over there, I said.
Okay.
Very well, Mrs. Fisher. Go on with your story.
It was pitch dark. Suddenly, I woke up.
Was it the shot that wakened you?
Quit crowding it, Drake. The poor girl's upset.
Woodman, one more remark out of you, and you'll spend the rest of the night in jail. Go on, Mrs. Fisher.
No, it wasn't the shot that wakened me, Mr. Drake. I'm not sure what it was. It was pitch dark, and the first thing I saw was the luminous dial of a man's watch glowing in the dark only a few feet from my head.
Horrible.
Well, Mrs. Fisher, what happened?
Well, that's when I screamed. The man, whoever he was, must have become frightened. He ran out into the balcony, banging the screen door shut behind him.
But there was a shot.
Well, apparently, after he got outside, he remembered what he'd come for. I could see him standing there, silhouetted against the sky. Then he raised his hand and shot through the screen door.
Good heavens.
There's a hole through the screen, all right. Bart, how's the babe?
She's all right, Inspector. By the way, Mrs. Fisher, after the shot came, did you get out of bed?
No, of course not.
Then who turned on the lights in this room?
I did, sir. I heard Mrs. Fisher scream and came running along the hall. I opened the door and snapped on the light.
Then closed it again and came back to the stairs to start the conducted tour, I suppose.
Well, yes, sir. I did. I didn't think it discreet to remain in Mrs. Fisher's room when she...
That stinks, Louie. For all you know, Mrs. Fisher was murdered in bed, but you were too shy to stay in the room.
It's a pity some other people can't be as discreet.
Oh, shut up, Junior. You're not married to the lady either.
Yes.
But I think we got ourselves another suspect.
That's ridiculous. Lewis is the most trustworthy butler I've ever known.
Thank you, madam.
He's also the only butler you've ever known, Mrs. Fisher. By the way, when you saw the prowler standing out on the balcony, didn't you recognize him?
Recognize him?
Mm-hmm.
You mean that Harris?
Yes, it's a possibility that shouldn't be overlooked, Mrs. Fisher. I'm surprised you didn't. All right, Inspector, let's get going.
Yeah, sure. Good idea.
Where are we going? We're going to look the grounds over for Horace, Inspector. We can't have these good people thinking themselves under suspicion if Horace is our man.
Yes. Turn on the bedside light.
Oh, Frank, I love you so.
I love you. I got to think you'll come back. Is there anything wrong?
Oh, Daddy, I want to help you. You know that, don't you?
Of course.
Frank, listen to me. Have you ever heard of Horace Gay?
Not until Drake spoke of him. Who is he?
He's an escaped convict from Sing Sing. He was sent up for murdering a man.
Good heavens.
Why, Drake? Because I told Drake that Horace Gay and I were once in love. I told him that after the trial, Horace threatened to kill any man that I married.
Colleen, you don't mean that you...
Of course not. I never heard of Horace Gay until I read about him in the paper. I cut out the clipping and mailed it to myself, but...
Why, in heaven's name?
But don't you see why? I wanted Drake and everyone else to think that Horace Gay had come back and murdered Alan.
But what if they...
Capture Horace Gay? Oh, they won't, darling. That's how I was clever. The clipping came from a year-old paper. The police have practically given up searching for Horace Gay.
Yes, it worked clever. Very clever. But I
oh,
still...
Oh, stop worrying, darling. Horace Gay is probably in South America by now.
I'm not worrying. It's an ingenious idea. There's only one thing wrong.
I know what you're thinking. I've taken care of that, too.
Taken care of what?
The gun, darling. Look, I kept it under my pillow.
Do you mean that you...
Of course. I fired the shot. There wasn't any prowler. And when Drake suggested that the prowler might have been Horace, I pretended I'd forgotten about him. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, if I had been the one who had suggested Horace, Drake might have thought it was a setup. Wasn't that clever?
Very clever. What are you going to do with the gun?
Oh, silly. If I'd thrown it out the window, why, they would have found it with my fingerprint. No, darling, Drake must never find the gun.
So you expect me to get rid of it for you?
But, darling, it's for your own good. You've already been searched. They'll never look.
Colleen.
Yes, Frank?
You think I killed Alan, don't you?
Didn't you, Frank?
Don't be a fool. Of course I didn't. Blast it, Colleen.
Frank.
What?
Come back here.
Hello?
Sit down here.
Listen to me,
Frank Allen. Listen carefully. Perhaps you didn't murder Alan. If you say you didn't, it's all right with me.
But I didn't, I...
All right. Drake and Daphne think you did.
They can't prove a thing.
Johnny, suppose you're wrong. Suppose they can prove that you did.
What do you mean?
It looks bad, Jack. You did have a motive. You did quarrel with Alan. Your fingerprints were on the gun. You and I both have admitted we were in love.
Ah, but, Helene, I tell you, that wouldn't stand up in court. It's circumstantial.
Alan was an important man, Frank. They've got to send someone up for his murder.
And you think I'm the go-to?
Oh, darling, let's not take that chance. Drake is practically convinced that this Horace Gay is the murderer. If they don't find the gun...
Well, how'll I get rid of it? What if they find it, Alan?
Well, they won't, darling. Don't let them. Oh, Frank. Frank, if you take me away, I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it, darling.
Here comes Drake and Danson.
Oh, quick, darling. Put the gun in your pocket.
Well, look who's here. The little man who wanted everyone else to be so discreet about going into female bedrooms.
Look here, Danson. I'll have you know.
We understand, Whitman. Becoming indignant won't help the situation. Mrs. Fisher, I'll have to ask you to get dressed and come downstairs.
I'm afraid I must disappoint you, Mr. Drake. I really don't feel up to it.
And I'm afraid I haven't the time nor the patience to tolerate your disappointment, Mrs. Fisher. You will meet us in the living room in 10 minutes.
Now, just a minute, Drake. These high-handed methods of yours are a little too much to take.
Are they, Whitman? And what do you plan to do about
it? You see, Junior, we're not kidding.
Mr. Drake, I absolutely refuse.
If you do, Mrs. Fisher, we'll have a patrol wagon here in 10 minutes. Inspector, perhaps you'd better assist Mr. Whitman down to the living room in case he has similar ideas about joining our party.
It'll be a pleasure. Come on, little man. Come to Papa.
Well, the 10 minutes are up, Bart. Shall I call a wagon?
We'll wait a moment or two longer, Inspector. In the meantime, Woodman, I think you'd better hand over the gun.
What?
What gun? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the gun that Mrs. Fisher used to shoot the hole through the screen, Woodman. It wasn't outside the house, and I'm sure that Mrs. Fisher wouldn't want it found in her room.
But how? I mean, I haven't
handed over, Junior.
Well, I... Look here, you can't...
It is, Bart. Just like we figured.
You see, Woodman, the ragged ends of the screen made by the bullet passing through pointed outward. That proved conclusively that the shot came from inside the room.
Get it, Junior? Tell him what else we know, Bart.
Very well, Inspector. We know that there was no man in Mrs. Fisher's room, Woodman. The whole thing was a product of her imagination.
That's a lie. You can't prove a thing.
I think we can. Mrs. Fisher said she woke up and saw the glowing... dial of a man's wristwatch in the darkness.
Well,
how did she know it was a man's wristwatch? Why not a woman?
I beg your pardon, Mr. Drake.
Oh, yes, sir.
Mrs. Fisher is waiting for you in the library.
Library? We told her we'd be here in the living room.
Mrs. Fisher prefers the library, sir.
Oh, she's trying to show her independence, eh? Well,
no. Oh, no, Inspector. Meeting us in the library is the cleverest move Mrs. Fisher's made tonight. But on the other hand, it's a dead giveaway that she is the one who murdered her husband.
I hope I didn't keep you waiting.
Not at all, Mrs. Fisher.
Say, stop me if I'm out of order, but aren't you dressed kind of funny, Mrs. Fisher?
Funny, Inspector Dyson? Why?
Well, wearing a riding habit this time of night with those heavy boots.
I love riding clothes, Inspector Dyson. I never had a chance to wear them very much before I married Alan.
That's a very nice act, Mrs. Fisher. I admire your courage. No, I think you'd better remain.
Very well. Drake, before we left the living room, you said that...
Yes, I know. Lewis, what was the real reason that you didn't remain in Mrs. Fisher's room after you turned on the light?
Why,
I was not in bed, that's why. Mr. Drake must still be so crying. What possible difference can it make?
A great deal, Mrs. Fisher. You were not in bed. You've gotten up and run over to the screen door to unfasten the latch from the inside. Isn't that right?
No. I've gotten up to chase the problem. I've neglected to pick up my dressing gown, and Lewis...
Nonsense. When Lewis switched on the light, you were standing in the center of the floor. You made no effort to get back into bed. Isn't that right, Lewis?
Why, yes, it is.
Yes, of course. And why didn't you run back to bed, Mrs. Fisher? Why?
I'll
tell you why. Because if you'd taken one step, Lewis would have known that you couldn't walk without limping.
Limping? What the...
Yes, limping. When you shot at your husband through the French doors, Mrs. Fisher, he didn't die instantly, as I told you before. He lived long enough to mutter that he got whoever shot at him, just as Woodman said.
Helene.
It isn't true, Frank. Don't believe it.
Yes, it is true. Your husband shot back at you. He hit you in the leg, and you realized you had to cover that wound.
Say, that's why she...
Yes, Inspector, that's why she's been wearing riding boots all day.
And every time we've seen her, she's either been lying down or sitting.
Exactly. And that's why Mrs. Foster came down to the library instead of the living room. She didn't want us to see her limping.
Frank, the gun. The gun that I gave you. Shoot them. Shoot them. Frank!
I'm sorry, Helene.
Mighty nice you'd ask me to stay with you tonight, Bart. It would have been a long trip out to my place.
Well, I'm glad to have your company, Inspector. Anything I can get for you?
No, thanks. I think I'll go to sleep. Twin beds is sure nice. Say, Bart.
Yes, Inspector.
Why did the babe dream up that Horace Gay gag?
Because we convinced her that we had enough evidence to send Woodman to the chair. That would have meant complete failure of her plan. She was in love with Woodman. So she tried to pin the murder onto someone else.
Oh, I see. Well, good night.
Good night, Inspector.
Say, Bart.
Yes, Inspector.
You stuff me for God.
Hmm?
Oh, yes.
Okay, Inspector.
Mystery is my hobby.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.